Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Hey guys, just letting you know that this is video 3 of a 5-part mini series that I did on the foundations of Ayurveda. So before you listen to this one, or after you listen to this one, it doesn't really matter, but I suggest you go back to the first recording, which was intro to Ayurveda, and then the second one, which was Ayurvedic psychology, because we do introduce the Mahagunas in the Ayurvedic psychology recording, and I touch on those briefly in this one to then lead into the 5 elements. So please enjoy, but go back and listen at some stage to the intro to Ayurveda recording 1 and the Ayurvedic psychology recording. Hello, everybody. Today is the 3rd video recording in our 5-part mini series, and today we're going to be talking about the 5 Ayurvedic elements, the Panchamahabhutas. And it's really important to get an understanding of what the elements are in Ayurveda, because they're the most basic principle taught in Ayurveda, and they relate to the Mahagunas, which we spoke about yesterday, and they also create the doshas, of which are the energetic principles of the mind-body type of an individual. So it's really important to get a solid understanding of the elements. And I often teach my students in the Ayurveda Alchemist program that it's often a lot better to treat the elements than it is the doshas, because sometimes we can get really caught up in our identity in what dosha we are or want to be. But the elements are just what they are. So, if you haven't watched the first 2 videos, the first video was an intro to Ayurveda, and then the second one, we went into Ayurvedic psychology. Just go back at any stage and maybe watch those 2 videos as well, because it gives you a really good, beautiful introduction to the foundations of Ayurveda. So the 5 elements are ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And if you can remember yesterday, we spoke about one of the Mahagunas being sattva. And so ether comes from sattva. Air comes from sattva and rajas. So it's the lightness and the movement qualities. And fire comes from rajas, which is the transformation and the action qualities. And water comes from rajas and tamas. And then earth comes from tamas, which is solid, heavy, and dullness. Now, this might all sound a little bit like, what? If you haven't, or if you didn't watch the video yesterday, or if it's still new to you and you're just absorbing the information. But as we go through, it'll all make a lot more sense. So Ayurvedic physicians adopted the physics of the 5 elements and suggest that these elements are present in our mind-body complex, our food, environment, emotions, relationships, and everything that exists in nature and the universe. The 5 elements are known as Panchamahabhutas in the Sanskrit language. And as I mentioned, they're the foundational concept in Ayurvedic medicine. Each element represents a collection of qualities, and we use the word gunas. So gunas translates to qualities, roughly, that describe each element. And I guess when you hear like these Sanskrit words, they sound beautiful, but they sound very big. And so I'm just going to explain what Panchamahabhutas means. So pancha actually means 5. And maha means great, and bhutas means elements. So it translates to the 5 great elements. And it's also important to note that when, because we are in a West of mind most of the time, the concept of the elements is, it can't be taken literally. So they represent, we need to remember, they represent a collection of qualities and forces that describe each element. Our individual constitution, so our doshas, which we will learn about in the next video, is a combination of these elements. So to be able to understand our doshas, we really must understand the qualities of the elements first. If the elements become out of balance with one another, we are more susceptible to illness, disease, mental disturbance, and suffering. So, as I mentioned, there are gunas or qualities that make up each of the elements. To balance the elements within ourselves, we adopt the Ayurvedic rule of like attracts like and opposites decrease each other. So in other words, the qualities of the elements have the capability to balance or aggravate each other. For instance, fire increases fire, whereas the cold and liquid quality of water would balance out the hot and dry quality of the fire. Air increases air, whereas heavy and slow quality of earth will balance out the light and mobile quality of air. So if you are feeling really hot and frustrated and it starts to make you really irritable, and you're sitting in the hot sun and then you decide to start eating some, you know, hot food, then all of these heat qualities are just going to increase that fire element within you. You might find if you're a sensitive person with your skin that you might start getting skin breakouts and you'll get like heat rash and you'll get little pimples. If you're very fiery tempered, then you might find that all of that irritation is going to like combust like a big flame, and then you're going to like explode at someone because you're feeling so agitated by all of the heat in your body. So instead of adding more fire, more heat, or the qualities of fire and heat through your environment, through your food, through the activities that you're doing, then we want to balance that out with cooler qualities, maybe slower qualities. And if we're looking at the gunas from a practical example in everyday life, we could describe a log as being heavy, dry, dense, hard, and gross. So they're the gunas, the qualities of that log, which would make it have that earth-like element. We can also explain our emotions in the terms of the gunas. So we often describe love as being really warm and soft and cozy. And we say anger is hot and sharp. So again, that fire element. We can talk about depression being dull and heavy and dense. And that's the earth element again. And often we refer to someone's attitude or personality as like they've got like a really, you know, hard personality, or they're such a softy. So we do describe things in our everyday life using these gunas, but maybe we're not aware of it until now. As we can see, each element has a number of qualities to describe it. They also have a primary principle. So ether just means like the space, the vastness. Its primary quality is space, being ether. Air, its primary principle is movement. And fire, primary principle is transformation. And water is fluidity. And earth is mass. So we're just going to go through each of the elements. And the very first one is ether or akasha. It was the first element created in nature. It is the space that allows for the existence of everything. It's responsible for the communication between one part of the body and the other, and the mind-body connection, the synaptic spaces, the intracellular spaces in the body, abdominal spaces. So anywhere that there is space, This is comprised of the ether element. Also, our self-expression is also formed from the ether qualities. And ether is one of the elements that make up the Vata dosha. It's very light and expansive. It's cool. It can be dry, smooth, soft. It's formless, immobile, ever-present, and open. So if you think of what the ether, the atmosphere, the space is like to you, if you can think about what qualities it would have, then we can see that these are the gunas that describe it. So again, it, in our bodies, it's represented between the vacant spaces between the organs, like our ear canal, even our bladder, our lungs, and it's also referred to as the element of the soul as well. When this element is balanced, we can be very creative, we can have wonderful ideas, and we can have a lot of clarity. But when it's imbalanced, fear can creep in. We have that clouded mind because the space is getting fogged and clouded and bogged down, and we can form a lot of judgment because we're not having clear, pure, sattvic thoughts. So a few ways to balance the ether element is through sound healing and throat chakra activation and a lot of grounding. So getting out in nature, putting your feet on the earth. Maybe for you, it's walking along the sandy beach. So there's different ways that we can start to tap into this element if we're starting to realize that it is out of balance. So the next element is air, Vayu, and air evolves from ether, which ether is stillness, and then it becomes active to become air. Air governs movement, change, direction, and creation into life. The air quality is responsible for the gas in the body, including the gas in the abdomen, air in the lungs, all movement in the body, and the nervous system as well. And air is the other element of the Vata dosha. So air and ether make up the Vata dosha. So a lot of people who have very high Vata dosha, they get a lot of IBS type symptoms, a lot of bloating, a lot of gassiness in the body. Sometimes they can get up in their head a lot of the time and feel like there's so much movement of thought, but it's not clear. It's very airy. So the qualities are mobile, cold, dry, erratic, light, sharp, hard, and changeable. So if you think about air, it can be very mobile. It can change directions. It can be light, like if it's a nice breezy today, but sometimes it can be really hard and sharp as well. In our body, obviously oxygen is represented by the air element, our breath, the prana, nerve impulses, our circulation, so the movement, because remember, air governs a lot of the movement in the body and the movement of the joints. So to balance this element, when it is in balance, there is a lot of clarity. You have free flowing breath. There's a lot of lightness in the body, but in a good way. So you're just feeling really just light and peaceful and content in the body. You have free movement in the body. And you're very receptive to touch. So your senses are very receptive, but not overstimulated. When air is imbalanced, you will feel very stiff. So your joints will become very stiff. You'll become immobile. Your muscles might be really contracting, and you could have a lot of circulatory issues in the body. So as an Ayurvedic practitioner, women's health practitioner, if there's a lot of circulation issues in the body, then I will look at the Vata dosha, treating that, and the air element. To balance this element, I'm thinking of the Vata dosha, we really need to establish a good grounding routine and grounding practices because, you know, if air is all moving and up and around, we need to sort of like contain it and keep it nice and grounded. So the next element is fire, and it evolves from ether and air. So if you can think about the movement or friction against stillness, how it creates heat. So we can see this, like if you get two pieces of sticks, that wasn't very good English. You get two sticks and then you hold them together and rub them really, really hard and fast, that friction starts to generate heat. And that's how they started fires back in the day before we had lighters. You can also feel it just with your own hands. If you start rubbing really hard and fast, that friction generates heat in the body. The fire element governs all transformations in the mind and the body, and it is one of the elements of the Pitta dosha. It's responsible for intellect and perception. So if you think of qualities of fire being really sharp, having a bright perception, or you could also think about it, if the fire dwindles, so it wouldn't be balanced, then you wouldn't be as bright or have that sharp intellect. The fire quality is related to Raja. So remember yesterday we spoke about the Mahagunas, Sattva, Raja and Tamas. So Raja is about that passion, that movement, that energy. And the fire quality is very much related to Rajas. It is also responsible for the body's coloring, the glow and the temperature of the body. So, you know, someone who always runs hot all the time, has lots of flushed face, rosy cheeks, we know that they've got a lot of that fire element within them and the Pitta dosha. It's also responsible for the shine in the hair, the light in the eyes, the luster in the cheeks. It governs our metabolism and our digestion. So we call our digestive fire the Agni. And it's also responsible for digestive enzymatic action. And the all metabolic chemical actions, including the ATP in the muscles. So when this is in balance, you can see someone who has really beautiful balance of fire element. They're bright, they're intelligent, they're passionate, they're a visionary person, they're very transformative in the things that they do. But when it becomes imbalanced, they can be fiery, they can get really angry, they can get irritable, they can get inflammation in the body because it can create, the fire element creates that heat and that inflammation. So whether that's internally or it starts to manifest externally, like in the skin, often they can get really red eyes and very sensitive to the sun as well. So to balance this element, you would introduce more cooling elements to reduce the heat. Water, apas, is the next element that we're going to speak of. And this element is part of the Pitta dosha. So Pitta is fire and water, and also the Kapha dosha. So Kapha is water and earth. Water has the quality of flowing, motion or liquidity, which gives cohesiveness to hold everything together. So if there was just dry dirt, and you put water on it, it would make mud and it would make things stick like clay, like you use water to make things cohesive. So it can be really flowing, like if we think of waterfalls and streams, but it also can get really stagnant. So if you think of a pond that gets really stagnant, so that's sort of like when we're looking in the body, like edema or congestion in the lungs, then we're looking at the stagnation of the water element. It is present in all bodily fluids, including the blood, which we call Rakta Dhatu in Ayurveda, the plasma and the lymphatic fluid, which we call Rasa Dhatu, and the urine, the stools, the saliva, our menstrual fluid, sperm, mucus, like any fluid in the body is made up mostly of the water element. So if we think of the qualities of water, we think of it being fluid, flowing, smooth, dull, moist, heavy, cold, and damp. And our body, it says our body is made up of 70% of water makes up 70% of our body mass, but I've heard that's even higher. So, you know, we are made of a lot of water. And to when someone has a lot of this water element within them, but it's at a very balanced state, they are very loving, they're empathetic, they're flowing. When they're imbalanced, this quality can cause fluid retention. So pitting edema in the ankles, fluid retention around the stomach or the arms, wherever that may be for you or for whoever is experiencing the imbalance with this element, congested lymphatic system. So our lymphatic system is really important to detox the body, and it can get really congested when this element is not balanced. We can feel very stagnant in the mind. We can feel very stagnant in the body and really emotionally blocked as well. So to balance this element, you want to increase or decrease the fluid depending on where that imbalance lies. And sometimes it's really beautiful to be able to connect to that feminine flow of life, because a lot of that stagnation comes from inaction or too much action, so too much of the masculine. So we need to find where we can add more flow into our lives as well. And the last element is earth. And the earth has the quality of solid matter, stability, and structure. It governs form and substance. It's present in the physical structures of the body. So as you can imagine, all of our solid bones, our connective tissue, the teeth, all of the organs have this really earth-like quality. The qualities are solid, dense, dry, cool. It can be hard. It can be slow, stable. It can be heavy, rough. So if you think of qualities of actual earth, what would that look like? In our body, as I mentioned, it's all of the solid structures. So when someone with the earth element is balanced, they are very stable. They're very strong. They have endurance. They're very powerful. They're just really like nurturing and earthy and really sure of who they are, but in a really beautiful way. When this element becomes imbalanced, they can become very stubborn. They can become very stagnant. So too much heaviness, too much lethargy. And it's often very closely related to the tamas mahaguna. So remember we spoke about tamas yesterday. So that inertia, that heaviness, that sleepiness, and dullness. So that's all part of the earth element. But as I mentioned yesterday, nothing is good or bad. It is just what it is. Like, we have all of these elements within us. We have to. We can't like miss an element because it doesn't sound amazing or it doesn't sound like us. They are present within us at all times, but we all just have a really unique and individual constitution of how much of that element is present within our prakriti, so our natural birth state, and also our vikriti, which is our imbalanced state. And we'll be learning more about that tomorrow when we start to speak about the Ayurvedic doshas. So to balance the earth element, you want to eat small, light, whole food meals, and you want exercise, you want movement. So you want to get the body moving and flowing, as opposed to being stagnant and stuck and heavy. So sometimes if you're feeling like that, the best way is just to go out in the elements, like get out in the air, the fresh air. So bringing that air element and start to move the body again, movement, that air element. So we're using that principle of like attracts like, and opposites decrease or balance each other out. So we've got to remember, like, if I'm feeling heavy and dull and lethargic, like, what are the opposite qualities to that? And how can I bring that into my life through activities, through movement, through thought patterns? And that's really what Ayurveda is all about. It's cultivating this greater self-awareness about yourself, your environment, the food that you eat, so that you can really be your own healer and really understand yourself on such a profound level and be able to recognize when things are becoming out of balance. So thank you so much again for joining me in this 5-part mini series. Tomorrow we will be learning about the doshas, and you'll learn again a lot more about yourself and how the doshas play out in our everyday life. And then finally, we'll finish with Ayurvedic Dinacharya, lifestyle medicine and nutrition. So thank you for joining me. If you have any questions, please, please reach out. And if this is really resonating with you and you would love to learn more, then get in contact because the Ayurveda Alchemist program would probably be perfect. I shouldn't say probably, it would be perfect for you if you are being called to Ayurveda and you are being called to learn this deep wisdom for yourself so you can connect more deeply into who you are and really understand yourself on that deep level. Or maybe it's to help other people through an Ayurvedic coaching business as well. So namaste and thank you so much, everybody. If you missed the intro and jump straight to the episode, don't forget that my Ayurveda Alchemist program is open for enrollment via application. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach and will help you up-level your health and wellness business. You'll gain access to the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and graduate with a knowledge of how to incorporate this timeless wisdom and holistic framework into your business so that you can create greater impact and boldly step into the high-level practitioner you know you can be. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the life of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.